Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia, and Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, now on TikTok Live. Connie Willis Live. Check it out. Also, Connie Willis X on Twitter and ConnieWillis.com. Join me. Have some fun. We do live investigations of Bigfoot, haunting, strange lights. And it's fun. And we look into all the genres and see how they connect and how they correlate. And it's a lot of fun. ConnieWillis.com. Learn more there. But definitely hit me up on TikTok and follow me, because that's where I'm going to be doing a ton of things. I'm very excited about it. It's a lot of fun at Connie Willis Live. All right. Let's get back to it. Sharon Day is with us, a screenwriter, popular blogger of Ghost Hunting Theories. Go to ghosthuntingtheories.com to learn more. She's also got another one, Groovy New Life. Yeah, I got to look into that a little bit deeper for you. A paranormal investigator, author of 24 books. I don't know how she has time to do anything. And she's, what else are you doing? Well, you're up with me tonight. That's cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, apparently I never sleep, so why not?
I know. I hear when you do sleep, though, you're hanging up by your toes upside down. And
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was not supposed to mention that. I'm so sorry. I'll get slapped on the hand for that one.
Yeah.
Well, as long stay away from that guano stuff, man. You might find mummies under it, though. Okay, so let's go back. I got to ask you this. We do have people that are calling in, so we'll grab some phone calls here, too, in a minute. But what is up with the Smithsonian? What? I don't get it. I mean, okay, so you had mentioned something about them first, but then the second time you mentioned it, and I think it was on a second story, you had said that they had actually offered money. And the people said, no, it's not enough. Now, I didn't even know they would offer money. I thought they just kind of took things on their own without any questions.
Yeah, you know, I think these guys, if it's true that they had come across this kind of treasure that had so much gold and jewels and things, it has value. And I think that anybody that found something like that would certainly want to get a reward for it. They're not just going to hand it over to a museum.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought the museum just took. I didn't think they ever even offered anything. I thought they just took. It seems like they have this power to be able to shut things off, not say anything, do anything they want, and keep secrets.
Yeah, and I think from what these guys were saying, too, that they you know, sent them a mail saying, "Hey, we found this stuff, and we want this much money." And then they had bargained them down, and the guys were like, "We're not going to show it to you." But the Smithsonian didn't pursue them. I think they figured they were just quacks, and that, you know, they were just shining them on. So that never came to something. But I mean, we do know repeatedly, over and over again, the stories of the Smithsonian taking things away.
And yeah, what do you know about those?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these giant finds that occurred around the mound culture area, the Ohio Valley, West Virginia, New York, you know, all of these locations where they were finding, farmers were digging up fields and or digging into mounds and finding these bodies. And apparently, the establishment of this Department of Ethnology meant somebody's going to go out there and say that this is native, we're taking it, and then it goes to the Smithsonian. And so Smithsonian was more or less just a safe, a bank safe, where they would just put this stuff. So I guess the biggest question is why are they hiding these giant people? What do they have to gain by not letting us access any of this? And I think a good deal of it is a lot of these were found in the latter part of the 1800s, and we were in a time in which we were accepting Darwinian law and moving away from some of the biblical. And so it'd be a great confusion to show people, yeah, there were giants upon the land, you know. It would cause quite a hoo-ha. And then they're dealing with the natives that were here when the Europeans arrived, and they consider them to be the first people. So they can't quite explain who these giant guys were. They can't put them into any kind of category. And I think at the time, more or less, they considered them aberrations and just put them away. But once you start hiding them, you have to keep doing it. It's like a murderer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you kill people, you're going to have to hide the bodies. And you can't leave them out in the open anymore. You know, now they'll be on to the serial killer.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's sad because, I mean, we're in a time now where that shouldn't scare people. I mean, we're government's acknowledging UAPs, so come on. Wouldn't it be cool to find out we have no trouble finding out all these other archaic men from, you know, that they're digging up in Africa or they're digging up in Italy or wherever. And, you know, why these people? What is the issue with these people? And that kind of took me back circular to what I was originally trying to do, which was to find the ancestors of Bigfoot. Where did they come from? And then we find that these native people said that they didn't get along with these giant people that were here and that they killed them or they drove them off. And now you have a people that are hiding. And we do know that when a person becomes a feral person, they will grow thick body hair. That's just going to happen. It's your body's natural desire to adapt. And so we could be talking about a people that know they're outnumbered and that we mean to kill them, and now they've gone into hiding. So there could be a correlation between the ancient giant culture and what we see and call Bigfoot.
LASIK LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
One of the one of our COAST listeners wrote in and said, "Show me the mummy."
I know.
That's cute.
Actually, I do have a researcher who actually went into a cave, was taken in there by a tribal elder, and did see these giant mummies that were actually tilted up against the wall. I would like to get that information of the location from him, but he did make a promise that he wouldn't do it. It was on native land, so all we can hope is that maybe the natives want to be generous and share knowledge about these prior people.
Could you imagine going into some sort of cave and then running into mummies? I mean, it's cool that they write about the facts, but nobody's writing about the creep factor, because you know there's got to be some creep factor going on. I'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And we run into issues with repatriation. Like the spirit mummy was fought over by the BLM and the native tribe because they're supposed to hand any ancient finds like that over to the local natives, but those natives weren't living there when this mummy was made. So it shouldn't really necessarily go to them, but that's another way the Smithsonian can be sure that these things are hidden, because if we find any giant bones, they have to be immediately given to the native tribe to deal with.
Let's go to Mike out of Lexington, Kentucky, first-time caller. Hey there, Mike. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, Connie. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I like that accent of yours. That sounds like back home.
Well,
go Big Blue.
This is Mike Crow.
Hello there, Mike Crow. I know Mike Crow. Professional broadcaster, friend, Blue Rocker, cadet, and Coast listener.
Well, I've been on Coast too.
You have. That's right. You've been a guest on here.
Yeah.
You caught me off guard. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, that's good. I'm glad you're calling in.
I think with Sharon, I think she's already answered my question. But let's see for sure. And then I have a story about local finding of mummies here, if that's okay.
Yeah.
The story I read is that the Smithsonian actually went back and pulled a mummy out. And it's in the bank vault at the Smithsonian. I think you answered that, though. Is that correct?
Actually, the stories are that they did get in there and they basically pulled everything out of there. I'm not quite certain how that undertaking would have occurred, because with it being 2,000 feet above sheer cliff wall, maybe they came in from above. Maybe they dug a hole from above, went in that way. But obviously, they wouldn't have left that stuff to just sit. Once they received those items from this discoverer, I'm sure they wanted specifics. Where is this? And they would have cleared that out. They couldn't just leave it for someone else to find.
Right. If there were stairs down to the water, there may have been stairs down from the top too.
Yeah, you know, he did not mention if that was there, but if there were stairs below, it definitely shows that there was a water line there, some way to get to those stairs and go up. So it's just intriguing. I mean, the more I think about this, I think of they need to do like a National Treasure #3 or something and make it the Grand Canyon Farm. That'd be so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other story I have, it comes out of Rank's History of Kentucky, which was published, I think, in 1840. Mm-hmm. Now, Lexington was founded in 1776 and named after the Lexington, Massachusetts, when they heard, when the pioneers heard about the battle. So they, it was a little spring about a mile away from the middle of downtown. Rank's history tells the story of early pioneers finding a cave where downtown Lexington would be now. And they went into the cave, found a large carved room filled with about 300 mummies of pygmy stature.
Mm.
So, and, you know, I was a young man when I found out this, so I was researching this. I went to the rare book section at the public library and the Margaret Keane Library over in UK, and read Frank's History of Kentucky, and found out found that passage. Now, being the nosy guy I am, I was asking around, and the guy that was in charge of the rare book section at the public library had grown up in the area, and he told me when he was a child, yes, there was a cave there. So the actual location of the cave had been verified, but I could not find anything else about verification of the mummies, but except that it was reported in writings by Rafinesque, who was a professor over here at Transylvania University, who was a little bit eccentric, shall we say. He got fired from Transy and he put a curse on it, but they brought him back and put him in a crypt over there at the university. But it's interesting to think that early pioneers would be somewhere where they would find what they referred to as mummies. And it just seems that it would be hard to disprove that to me.
Is that something
that you found in your research?
Yeah, it's interesting what you're talking about. I had not heard of that case, but one of my favorite research books is The Natural and Aboriginal History of Tennessee by John Haywood. And these were findings from the 1700s digging up in Tennessee a graveyard of these pygmy people that were about around 2 feet tall. And then there were hundreds of these graves. And nearby, there was also what they found, a graveyard of basically giants. So the two seemed to be together in that region. And there's just a lot we're missing about the history of this land and who was here first. Actually around the globe when you think about it, because I think we can all agree that the megalithic structures show there was some other culture that somehow got obliterated, buried, died off, but they certainly left traces, and we tend to give ourselves credit for it. It's sort of like if I buy a house tomorrow and I move in and I say, just because I live here, I built this house. You know, you can't really say that. You know, somebody else built it, and just because you live there doesn't mean it's yours. You know, the Aztecs had done that down in Mexico. They had moved into Teotihuacan, and it had been empty for hundreds or thousands of years. And so those pyramids and all that stuff, they weren't Aztec. They were some other culture. And I think we should all want to know, who is that other culture?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mike, for your call.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, he's an okay guy. No, he's a great guy. He's a good friend. he knows his stuff. He's a good guy. So you said there were the tall people, and then there were the 2 foot tall people next, close to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean these are described in great detail in that book, and this was, I think, in the latter half of the 1700s when these were uncovered, and there wasn't a lot of knowledge, and there certainly wasn't any local archaeologists or anthropologists or even good universities that could understand what they were looking at. But the way they described the little ones were in little stone caskets that were just a little over 2 feet long. And they described their heads as looking kind of dog-like. And that's intriguing, because then once again we run into Marco Polo and Chinese explorers and others had described coming across dog-faced tribes. So
so much we would know about ourselves if we...
I know.
You know. That's what it's about. And going back to Smithsonian again, do you think that they just have things sitting there hidden away, or do you think that there's a whole nother something happening where they're at least studying these things, looking into them deeper, mm-hmm. or do you think they're just really sitting there?
I guess maybe I'd say instinctively, I feel like back when they were when so many were discovered in the latter 1800s, early 1900s, that those collectively were disposed of. As long as they don't have them, they don't know about it, right?
Wow.
Yeah, people there now probably. I mean, I always wanted to work. I grew up in the D.C. area. Smithsonian was my second home. But I remember as a kid seeing the workers go in those little side doors for the employees, and I think, I'm going to go through those someday.
Yeah.
I want to know what's there.
Did you? All right, you and I, let's make a date, a time, we'll meet, and that's what we're going to do somehow. We'll figure it out. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how we'll pull it off, but, you know, we'll just, like, hang from a string from the ceiling and lower ourselves into the archives, and, you know.
We'll figure it out. will figure it out.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.